Covenant School massacre. This was a conservative Christian school. If you feel that lines are actually breaking down, you've had people coming up to you from the school, thanking you for standing up against gun violence. Do you see hope for the future on your 28th birthday?
I see so much hope. As I'm sitting here right now, I'm thinking of Melissa, who is one of the Covenant mothers who came up yesterday and pinned a ribbon that they had made with the school colors on me and said that I'm Republican, but you fought for our children. You fought for us. And that means the difference. We're seeing breakthroughs and fault lines breaking here. Their narratives and their facades of power are breaking. And it really is showing us that we can build a state that is multiracial, that is transcends this issue of left and right, but talks about right and wrong. These mothers, so many of them are Republicans, are saying these men like Cameron Sexton do not care about our children. They don't deserve to be in power. And they're transforming the state. They're coming together, and we're building a new coalition to transform Tennessee. And I believe it can be a model for the nation.
Democratic State Representative of Nashville, Justin Jones, happy birthday, and happy birthday to our digital fellow, Eric Halverson. I'm Amy Goodman.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll look into the case of a goat, a girl, and the rise of more compassionate and humane alternatives to 4-H agricultural programs. We'll be speaking with Danielle Hanisch, Executive Director of LEAP, Leaders for Ethics, Animals, and the Planet. It's a program that offers students the farm animal care experience and opportunities of 4-H without the selling of those animals for slaughter, which can traumatize many kids.
These kids were, 15, 16 years old and just realizing, like someone flipped a switch that, oh my gosh, these animals are no different than my dogs and cats at home. They have feelings, they have personalities. And now I'm knee deep in this program and I don't think that there's another option and I have to betray my friend who I have cared for.
Got your goat. On the next Voices for the Animals, airing Friday, August 25th at 10 a.m. right here on 90.7 KBOO FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Soul to Soul on Friday and Saturday, August 25th and 26th at the Alberta Abbey in Portland. Soul to Soul celebrates the rich tapestry of African and African-American culture through spoken word performances, vibrant African dances, and drumming sessions. Again, that's Soul to Soul on Friday and Saturday, August 25th and 26th at the Alberta Abbey, 126 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Rise them up, KBOO 90.7. You don't know it's your girl, Tasha T.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. My name is Tammy and with me is Althea.
We're back.
How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I had to take last week off. We were off on the show because I gravity was working overtime as I hit the concrete on a Lime scooter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all scratched up.
Yeah.
In so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am,
still here.
Week later, still plopping myself down in front of this mic, enjoying myself here at the KBOO studio on The Gap.
Yep.
Thank you all so much for your kind words. It was really nice to see. And I'm alive. Yay.
She's powering through, folks.
Definitely
powering through. I got a terrifying text message from you. Like barely coherent. I was like, I have to go.
Yes, I was a trooper that day for myself.
Yeah, you were.
I don't want to be a trooper anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Anywho's, but here we are on the show.
Yes, we're back.
For those who are unfamiliar with the show, this is your first time tuning in. Well, first of all, you're welcome. Secondly, this is The Gap where we do a two-part it's a two-part program. In the first part, we either have an interview or a news roundup. And then second part, we open up the phone lines for you to call on in and answer our community question.
Mm-hmm.
since we weren't here last week, we're not even going to do any catch up because there's been a lot of stuff happening in between. But we'll start with some local stuff and then kind of scope out to national stories.
Yeah.
And Althea, you picked some really good local ones.
Yeah. So the first one I want to tell you about is new reporting from Street Roots this week that goes through public records that show Portland officials' private interactions with Zenith Energy. You remember Zenith, don't you?
Mm-mm-mm.
Fossil fuel storage company. Back in 2019, the city denied their land use permit because they wanted to build pipes under Front Street to...
And people were really stoked about it. It was like...
Portland, for denying their demands. And it was like a weird legal area anyway. And they're on the train cars. They've got fossil fuels, tar sands, stuff like that. Super, it's off-gassing in neighborhoods that are already impacted by poor air quality. And boy, wouldn't you just know that the risk in an earthquake is immense to explode. So in 2019, Portland denies their desire to expand. And Zenith appeals. It goes to the Land Use Board of Appeals. The Land Use Board of Appeals upholds Portland's decision. They appeal again, going to the Supreme Court, the Oregon Supreme Court. And that decision comes down on October 6, 2022. The Oregon Supreme Court upheld the appeals decision, saying, yeah, Portland says that it's an immense risk to, life, safety, etc. They can deny this thing. 3 days earlier, Commissioner Dan Ryan issues them a new permit, rendering the whole thing moot. And at the time, you could probably go back on our page to find when that happened. And we were like, what the hell is going on?
It's where they had all the flyers around town with Dan Ryan's face and Zenith. And
yeah.
We're like, what are these really interesting flyers? And
yeah.
got to talking about it.
Right. And, from the public perspective, it felt like it really came out of nowhere.
Sure.
And why would you throw away something that was so broadly publicly popular and that it's like, yeah, Portland's doing one thing right. The one thing that everyone can agree on is that we shouldn't expand this fossil fuel infrastructure. But Jeremiah Hayden from Street Roots has all of these internal communications that reveal a pretty cozy relationship that reveal Zenith and their PR firm courting city staffers, not even city officials so much.
Well, that's who does the work, for real. It's,
yeah,
what is
exactly.
It? 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people.
Yeah. I'll read you a little quote here. Despite concerns and ongoing litigation, the Portland Bureau of Development Services, or BDS, approved a new land use permit on October 3rd, 2022, after city officials tasked with public oversight engaged Zenith in private meetings, conversations on a boat tour sponsored by Working Waterfront Coalition, and coordinated public messaging, according to the records. They were taking tours of Zenith. They were saying, actually, we need to wait to announce this for a few more days so we can get our ducks in a row because people are going to be mad at us and we need to coordinate on this. And then there's this other sort of secret handshake agreement that they just did to build the pipes underneath Front Street again. So,
what do you think?
I'm not surprised. I'm just like...
What do you think was said then? What do you, on that boat ride?
I don't know. And the thing that it leaves me wondering is, what did Zenith give the city officials to have them to roll over, if you'll pardon the, I don't know, euphemism. But
we sure know it's not Tesla's. Ew.
Ew.
Because it's electric.
Okay, yeah, there you go. part of what is their... backing for this, they're like, oh, it's not fossil fuels. All of our resolutions say we're not going to expand fossil fuel infrastructure. It's renewable fuels, which is ethanol and stuff made from corn. But only at the point of combustion is renewable diesel better than regular diesel. Everywhere else in the process, we have no idea. And the risk of it exploding and blowing up neighborhoods or leaking in an earthquake or exploding in an earthquake is exactly the same. They're chemically the same, renewable diesel and fossil fuels.
That's really scary considering all the, how the climate change and just everything is kind of off the charts this year,
yeah,
as it was last year and the year before and the year before and the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if they're not able to, I mean, this stuff just sounds like very unstable, you know? And to have them in neighborhoods, and when we know, like, the environment is not stable either, you know? It's like we can't really count on having, like, livable summers as folks were able to, like, 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're not, like, keeping up with the infrastructure of, like, of that reality, then, yeah, it's only going to, like, I don't see, it's only getting worse, it's exacerbating, so how... I can't see this like ending well, unless like unless for the people who made this happen, and then they I don't know,
they got
like
the
what
cash.
Would you? I just don't understand.
I want to know how much it was worth.
Well, I just what's the thing? It's like you can't eat money, or like at the end of the day, you won't be able to eat money or something, right? It's like if you're poisoning the earth and you're poisoning the water and you're poisoning the air where you live, Dan Ryan, then like. What? How much money isn't going to save you? You know, like you're going to die with us.
Yeah.
We're all dying together, I guess.
I want to know. I mean, I have like a personal hypothesis about what Zenith gave them in exchange, but I want to know how much it was worth. You know, there's another quote here. Meeting notes from a July 29th, 2022 tour of Zenith facilities tell a story of how Zenith sold regulators on a plan to transition Portland into a primary provider of renewable fuels on the West Coast. Portland is to become the first stop for renewable fuels imported from Singapore, then exported to facilities in British Columbia, Washington, and California, according to the notes. Which this is another thing. I interviewed Jeremiah Hayden earlier this week for the newscast, and, you know, there's also, you know, untold stories about how importing renewable diesel, I'm doing air quotes, people, from Singapore, how much fuel is that using? Like, how much more are we, you know, whatever lesser, you know, environmental harm, how much of that is even going to show up? And there's so many little details sprinkled throughout this about how it's all being kept in these tanks that are over 100 years old,
that
are
only
supposed to last for 30 years.
Right.
And that Zenith has not ever pretty much operated in good faith. They took over this former asphalt terminal in 2017. They lied to the DEQ. They didn't pay their franchise fees on time. DEQ fined them $25,000 for flagrant violations of their air permit in 2021. They got sued and paid over $100,000 settlement to the Audubon Society. You know, they're it's really kind of stomach churning. And I would encourage people to read it. You know, it's I think it's an important thing to read. And you know, I've like mentioned it to some people this week ever since I talked to Jeremiah about it, and I like read it myself. And people are like, yeah, what do you expect? I expect better.
Mm.
You know, it's like, yeah, of you know, this sort of like jaded vibe. It's like, yeah, of course. It's like, no, what do you mean, of course?
Well, yeah, considering that there was so many people were going with it, and you had like the river keepers, and you had, like so many people.
They were going to sue on behalf of the city.
There, all these people seem to be all for it, and like I remember when I first got to Portland, it was like people were like, we're not down for Zenith in so many words. And it was like, oh, cool. This Zenith thing seems to be like the bad guy in town that folks are not feeling. And, you know, being a cable, I learned more about it. But it's not, it's like that, you know, like you were saying, people are being kind of like, well, what'd you expect? It's like, this was like the one thing I expected that we're actually get accomplished, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this has been since 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you know, like,
and the law has been on the city's side to do all of that.
Yeah, and the city's been, it seemed to be up to this point, seemed to be really receptive to it. And
I'm just like, I mean, look, we talk a lot about how poorly functioning this current system of government
is. Charter reform,
and that's why we need charter reform, and that's why we support charter reform. But just that, like, one guy. Or a couple people get to decide that actually, not to mention all the litigation that they've presumably spent a bunch of money on to defend up to this point. It's like, forget it.
Won't they go?
You guys are
where
cool.
They're from? What's going on? Where Mr. Zenith live at?
Yeah.
Is it not
here, I don't think.
And that's another thing. It's like, it's not like they're revolutionary thinkers of like, we have this idea that's never been done before. Look at all around America in different cities and different towns and how they consume them and spit them out, you know? Like literally, like leave them, like leave a bed of skeletons in their wake, you know? So it's one person. Yeah. All it takes for whatever it is to stay, for the status quo to stay in any way, for the good or the bad, is really just like one person's thought or one person just maintaining an unspoken social agreement, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really scary.
Or like what, you know,
it's like, well,
gain they have to
no one's
extract.
Done this because it's unprecedented. It's like, ooh, that's well, we live in unprecedented times for a while now, so maybe we need to get that bad boy in writing as our mantra is for the year.
Yes, that is our, and now that this is in writing, you know, take it to the bank.
Oh!
And by the bank, I mean, you know, re-election campaigns. Everybody's campaigning for city council. Rubio and Ryan are like the main people that were involved in this kind of thing. And there's even like a contrast talking to people who worked in Chloe Udaley's office, who oversaw the development services prior to and like during this litigation, was like, we would never have randomly taken a tour of Zenith if we were actively suing them. That's a wild thing to do, you know?
I guess that's one thing that kind of seemed, that word that you said, like randomly, like, or just, cause same thing with some of the anti-unhousing policies that are coming from City Hall.
Yeah.
And same with this. It's like, these are kind of coming out at, like, someone's been plotting this. Someone's been thinking about, like, someone's been on the back burner thinking about this, and they're, like, maybe waiting for, I don't know, COVID lockdowns to subside or something. But
yeah,
it seems like they were... unless we feel just waking up one day and they're just like, I have a billion dollar idea right now, and they just go to some other white dude in City Hall and they're like, you know, and they're and
you
they
know
just both
do
like the little handguns on each other. Yeah, finger guns on each other, and they're like, all right, let's go mess up this whole city. Because it's like they're trying to undo something that's like you could have really won on like kicking Zenith out, you know?
We're literally 3 days away from winning.
Yeah.
And would have, you know...
This is a significant thing to take to the bank.
A significant thing to take to the voters. Of like, we stood up against Zenith, you know? And you get, you know, Portland voters took sort of a right turn with our current city council, but they love the environment.
Yeah, okay? That's the one thing.
That's the one thing that they're...
They'd love to try to get someone not to hike.
Yeah, exactly. Tell them they can't, okay?
That's how Ted Wheeler also...
Oh, that's how he decompresses.
Yeah, decompresses a long day.
He's like, what do I do? I forget why what was the context of him even saying that? I forget. We had a good laugh about it when it happens, though. Okay, so should we move on to the next story?
For sure, yeah.
Sorry, I talked about that one for a while.
Oh, yeah, that was, thank you for bringing that up. What's the next story you'd like to go to?
Let's do the Joint Office of Homeless Services audit.
Mm.
Guys, it's not a good audit. Mm. What are you guys doing over there? County Auditor Jennifer McGurk publishes an audit saying the Joint Office of Homeless Services not paying contractors on time. Don't pay the... So much of it is overseeing nonprofit contractors who do the work of homeless services. Mm. They're not paying them enough for them to pay their employees living wages.
Ooh.
They are sometimes being asked to do work without a contract.
Sure.
They are holding up... KGW reported that there was like a $300,000 payout to, you know, a nonprofit to do the work that got held up over a $25 charge, like a dispute over that. And that nonprofits have had to take out lines of credit that they pay interest on in order to float between like the inconsistencies in the joint office. Really poor communication. Their service providers are siloed. Like they don't talk to each other. Mm. So like, for example, there's like specific services for veterans, specific services for domestic violence and sexual assault survivors, specific services for families. If you fall in more than one category, you have to apply to three different things. You have to interview three different times. Not a great use of resources. And there's one thing that's missing from the audit, which is, where is the data on how many people this office has housed?
Mm.
And they don't know. And so she put out this audit saying, I'm going to find out how many of the data, what the data says, but I had to get this out ahead of time. Because all throughout this process, and there was like a audit that she was doing in 2021 that sort of like started and stalled looking for this data because she thought, or like the feeling was that the joint office was inflating their numbers of how many people they had housed by saying, this is how many people we got into housing programs, not how many people we've gotten into housing. And the joint office is like, oh yeah, that data, the city has it. You're going to have to go ask them. So the city's like, we don't have it. The joint office definitely has that. So it's like, one, are they not keeping the data? Or two, does the data look terrible? Or three, is it like a computer issue? I don't know. Like, well, are they working on bricks over there? It doesn't look good.
That's really, that's so unfortunate. And they, I don't, at least from the outside, it seems as though there are a lot of people who do not want to see this this office succeed or even help people in the way that they want to. So I think in a lot of ways they've had a target on their back for a while, and it's really sad that they weren't taking into consideration that just like how many eyes were looking at them, you know, and how many, unfortunately, people were hoping for them to fail, you know. And this is not good. This is not good at all. It doesn't, you know, I hope that it doesn't, now, I don't know, maybe I am being biased. I do feel like I'm being a little bit biased, because if it was like, you know, a data telephone company, you know, something, it would be like, well, we think this is what, but, you know, this is like, this is serious services, like homeless services are needed in this town very much. And it just, it seems like the county does one thing, the city does another thing. Like, the county tries, the city takes it away. The county's like, here are some, here are tens, and the city's like, nope, just kidding, you know.
We're throwing those in the trash.
Yeah, and it's just, it's just, it's so much, and we're paying taxes. Like, it's just so much. People are dying on the streets, you know. And it just, it makes me wonder, like, who is legit out there, you know? And who's out here, like, actually making it so that these nonprofits in our, you know, localized areas can actually, like, you know, do distributions, like, whether it's food or whether it's, like, a harm reduction, you know? And it's, it just makes me really sad, because I know how many people fault people for being homeless on their person, like, on their character. It's like, you are homeless because you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And this is part of this, I don't know, I think this is, I don't know, I just can see people being like, well, people flock to Portland because they're lazy and look at the joint offices, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, this is not, it's not that simple. It's not as simple as like one organization or one department messing up, but also you can't be messing up like this, you know? This is people's lives, you know? Like people who are most vulnerable, most marginal, people who don't, it's just so, it's, I don't know. You know, have you tried to, like, not sleep for 3 days, you know? Have you tried to not sleep for 3 days because you're scared? Have you tried to not sleep for 3 days because you're scared and don't have a place to sleep? Like, it just, like, what are we, like, what are you expecting people to do when this is the system or the infrastructure that we have for them? Like, you might as well just be like, here's a gun, shoot yourself, you know? Like, this is basically what, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not great. And I mean, so the joint office was started in 2016 to try to, like, pool city and county resources, and now their renewal is coming up
in
December.
That's also I knew this.
And I think that the way that things are going, my hypothesis is that Portland will not renew with the joint office. Or if they do, they might renew for a shorter-term contract and try to roll it in under the new city administrative structure. And, yeah, it's not good. And that, you know, expecting the bare minimum of paying contractors on time and communicating with them in a regular way is not too much to ask. Part of what they blamed it on is they've said, like, in 2019, there were 27 employees. By 2023, 99, and four different directors in that time.
Oh, wait, what? That's overkill.
A lot of new people, high staff turnover, high leadership turnover. Mm-hmm. They haven't had, like, a consistent vision or direction. And, you know, more than half of their service providers, like, say that they're not doing a good job of communicating what they're about or coordinating between different nonprofits, which is, like, the whole point of what you should be doing is, like, hey, something's happening in this bucket over here. Let's move some things over to support it or whatever. So, you know, it's not in a great space.
I do wonder, though, But that's the thing with an audit, is that it shows you where you messed up. So maybe it, you know, it'd be like, I mean, can you imagine in like that amount of time with so much turnover trying to just have like any kind of, what do you call it, institutional memory, but in the sense of like, here's what our spreadsheets look like. Yeah. Like, you know,
here's
like
the passwords to all the stuff that you need.
Don't get me started. Just, I'm going to give that a moment.
No, I mean,
we need to give that a moment, a moment of silence, just to try to get into, that's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
If you have one person in computers go, like in the, you know, admin computer or something, you can have a whole week where you don't know what your password is because the person who's supposed to be doing
server's
it
server's down,
isn't
Wi-Fi's
there.
Off. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. That's not my job. You know, it's totally true.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, you know, identifying it gives clarity to where it needs to do better and where people need to be held accountable to like a bare minimum kind of standard. It does worry me though, because it gives a lot of fodder to I should just not read comments on the internet, but they're like, just return the money to the taxpayer. It's like, okay, what are you gonna do with it? Are you out there building houses? Are you out there, you know, helping people find a job? No, you're not. So take it easy.
But that's the thing, is that because of this audit, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's, you know, it needed to happen, but it, I think in my mind, I wonder if some people are looking at this like, well, these services just don't, this doesn't help, like this just isn't working, period, not realizing that it's like, it's not necessarily the idea of like, let's make sure people have the basic like housing. It's, that's like maybe not really the issue,
it's
as
the
much
government.
As it's, yeah, it's the government and like the bureaucracy of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so yeah, I can understand like when someone says something like, we'll give all the taxpayers back their money. I understand where that comes from. And it's not even like in the sphere of reality or like, of like the problem.
It's
really,
like, okay, you paid $200 in taxes. What are you going to do with
all that? All that tells me is that you're just as broke as I am. Look at us all being broke together. Maybe we shouldn't be mad at people who are a little bit more broke than we are, you know? Maybe we're just one broke day away from, you know, get that right.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Do you want me, I can do a quick mention of the drug decriminalization thing, and then we can go do a little debate talk before going to the phones.
Okay. Go for it.
We've just had a lot to say today. It's because we weren't on last week.
That's
anytime we take a week off, intentionally or unintentionally, it's like, so many pent-up things to talk about. So this is one of them. The Lund Report, I believe this was last week or the week before, published a resignation letter from one of the managers of Measure 110, the drug decriminalization measure at Oregon Health Authority. And I believe they departed in, they were hired in August 2021 and departed in August 2022. So we're leading it kind of like through this beginning phase. And it's a pretty scathing letter about how unsupportive the health authority was. And we, of course, know that Measure 110 drug decriminalization is a huge failure. And look at what Oregon tried to do and all of this stuff. And interesting to hear these words from the inside about, you know, how OHA stymied their efforts, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like there's this part about they were only letting, imagine, like, think of just the word drugs in Oregon and the fact that there are only 7 people that were around that would be in that department. It's just like, that's just the history of this place. Come on now.
Yeah. And then speak of another audit. In January, found that the OHA hadn't given them proper roles and responsibilities for implementing 110 or supporting them. These are people who like haven't directed a state agency before or some kind of effort like this. They're Angela Carter is her name, and they wrote, "I am deeply disappointed and honestly horrified that the OHA is working in direct opposition to its mission to serve our communities in Oregon through intentional destructive management of such a crucial program." So I just wanted to mention that, you know, check out the Lund Report. It's on Oregon Live as well if you want to read about what's going on.
There's some pizzas in here where I'm just like, that is a toxic work environment. Like, you don't know how, it's like, this thing just passed through and they're just kind of like, here it is. And that's it. It's like so bizarre. It's like trying to create a human without any DNA, you know?
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of, but there's been recently a lot of like quote-unquote progressive victories for Portland voters, for Multnomah County voters, for Oregon voters. But it needs to be seen through, you know?
Yeah, you gotta wait
a
little bit.
And if you voted for it, you know, have a little patience, yeah. Check in. Is everything going well? Because the establishment will not want to actually implement progressive policies in good faith.
Mm.
And we saw that just weeks ago with Ryan and Gonzalez trying to rip apart the charter change, yeah. Right? And they're like, what if instead of all of the stuff that was good and progressive, what if we sort of did none of that and sort of concentrated power in the hands of the few?
These people don't know what they voted for.
And it's like, voters aren't stupid, but they're kept in the dark, you know?
Right. And yeah, and you do have, even if you want to know what happens in a meeting and stuff, like you have to make effort, you know, for sure. It's not, they don't pander to you with like their day-to-day activities as they do, you know, every election cycle, you know?
Or, you know, the people with deep pockets who yeah. are inviting them on boat tours.
Where are these watch groups? We need a little watch group.
Yeah.
I'm starting
a watch group? Starting a watch group? Anybody want to start a watch group?
We'll get a big monocle and stuff.
Okay. Well, let's do a little, so Tammy is our Republican debate correspondent. I'm switching gears, so that's okay.
Yes.
And she's going to give us the highlights for those of us who didn't watch it because they were working on doing other stuff at the time and also was worried about how they would feel, perhaps. But yes, there was a Republican debate. Trump wasn't there.
The GOP debate did happen on the 23rd. As I was laying on my sofa, icing my knee, very little hope came to me in that 1 week. But then a glimmer of shine caught my eye in the form of the GOP debate, and I watched it start to finish. I watched it. I definitely, like, you know, had to walk away, come back, you know, cook something, come back.
Little breathers.
Yeah, necessary. Little breathers. You know, yeah. Angry texting friends about it, and there was. Yeah, the main attraction was not there. It was interesting because it's like, whoa, this is like old school politics. It's just, yeah. You know, a bunch of just people, just politics, politicians politicking.
We're back to 2012.
Yeah, it was like, whoa, this is really neat. Yeah, Nikki Haley mentioned Margaret Thatcher in a quote, which I thought was just, I was like, did that just happen? It was like a quote about
Bastion of Democracy, Margaret Thatcher.
I don't think she knew.
The original girl boss.
Don't tell that to any. I hope no minors are listening, but it's true. Nikki Haley
you
did.
You think that they don't know I'm being sarcastic?
Oh, no, I did.
Okay, go ahead.
Nikki Thatcher.
Nikki Thatcher, as we're calling her.
I was shocked. It's like, do we not have any other women that we can quote? Jesus, yeah. Come on now. We got so many. Anyways.
I'll Google them for you, Nikki. Condoleezza Rice.
Condi. Boom. And that's even on your side. That's your own people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know, that's it. Vivek Ramaswamy was looking real good. I think we need to...
One of the first things Tammy remarked upon to me was
really
that
wants,
his skin looked really nice.
If he really
nice.
Wants people, the youngsters, to take him seriously, he needs to do a Get Ready With Me skincare routine,
because
that's how he's going to get at least, I don't know, 0.7% of the votes, at least.
Mm.
Thank you for taking the notes when I was downloading this on you, hardcore. He was giving a lot of Trump energies, but like a Bitcoin Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He was got a little bit more sophistication. He's just well more, like, just put together, you know, his hair isn't,
sure.
You know, he doesn't have his, like...
He didn't show up at Fulton County Jail to report that his hair was strawberry blonde. That happened yesterday.
But what he did do is plagiarize Obama a little bit, which was pretty neat, because he goes, you're probably wondering what a skinny guy with a funny last name is doing. And then Chris Christie comes up to me and says, last time we had a skinny guy with a weird last name, it was Obama. And then it's like, Christie, we did, sit down. We remember you and Hurricane Sandy with Obama taking pictures, hugging each other, doing high fives, dapping each other up. I remember this. Also, I remember him shutting down the highway on the first day of school. Let's not forget that.
Mm.
Chris Christie. He needs to sit down. I don't know why I personally... maybe we can have a conversation, me and him, one day. But I just feel like I'm trying to figure out, what is he actually trying to do? Because I don't understand.
Well, when the last time he held office, he left with like 30% approval. I don't, like, who's like, yeah, Chris Christie, I'm a Chris Christie guy.
I
don't know. I'm willing.
But I think Vivek is, he was like Trump's biggest fan, and then Chris Christie was like Trump's biggest hater.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, people always ask about debates, who won, who lost. I think that the in-studio audience was definitely the winner. They were animated. They were on. They were happy. They were sad. They lost 15 pounds. They gained it all back. They were running around. They were jumping. They were doing the most. Like, half the crowd was booing. Half the crowd was cheering.
Yeah. That's a confusing situation to be in as an audience member. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. I don't want to be wrong. Do we hate them? Do we like them?
It was really neat to, because, like, so like a politician, especially with Christie, like, he'll start saying, he's like, Trump sucks, and then they're all like, boo, and then he fucks it up with, because he disrespected the Constitution. They're like, whoa! So that was interesting. DeSantis, people keep saying that he, like, didn't do that well, but he
just stuck to his script. He didn't, like, engage with questions.
He does better in that format than in person.
Sure.
And, you know, I'll tell you one thing.
He gave a really pained smile at one point. Yeah, that's really viral.
I think it's becoming like a meme now. I think that there is, the thing that interests me about DeSantis, or at least with voters around DeSantis, is that he has put on several policies and legislation, codified them into law in his state, that are so bigoted and hateful. And yet you have people saying he's not doing enough. Like, he has literally a track record of so many bigoted stuff that he's been doing.
Mm.
And people are like, well, what is he actually going to do once he gets into office? It's like, he's showing you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, what does he need to do to show his fan base that he is that guy? I'm just really confused.
I wouldn't be explaining this to him. I'd say you've done everything that you could even roll it back. I feel like
At this point, I just feel like I'm just confused about, it's again going to the audience. I'm just confused. Like,
I just don't want to give him any ideas.
You have folks who haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Up there saying what they would do versus someone who's telling you, like, I will separate trans families. I will not have Black history taught in schools.
I will fight beloved American company.
Sure.
Disney.
Disney not an option.
I will personally silence every Disney princess.
And he has
because women belong what? In the kitchen. Thank you.
Mm. What is this? A DeSantis t-shirt that you're quoting?
But my voice isn't squeaky enough.
It is. But isn't that strange that, I just don't understand, like, what does this man have to do?
I guess
the personality does go a long way.
He's, like, extremely unlikable. Hard to be around, and has influence over Florida, but who knows for how long.
It's almost as though people who are that hateful are not fun to be around.
Yeah, just an extremist nut. Anyway.
Pence was okay. He needs to go back to...
Wrote down that he's boring.
He's boring, yeah. And he was just picking fights with Vivek, and Vivek was just trolling everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley was great on abortion. I was really happy to hear there was, like, somewhat of a diversity of thought around abortion in the GOP, which I didn't know. So it's like, damn, okay.
Huh. Yeah, and that I heard about, like, that they were kind of dancing around a federal abortion ban because it's actually, like, kind of political poison for their party. They will get run out of office for 20 years if they actually try to do that, based on the popularity of that position.
Sure.
That was interesting.
Their point about small government and how government has no place in, like, abortions. It's like, what?
Hang on.
Nikki Thatcher, get out of here. What are you talking about? That was
there
nice.
You go.
And then there is a Burgundy. If I can't remember their names, then I'm sorry. The ones who I can't remember, you're the ones who lost
on the far edge of the stage.
Except for Tim Scott. He was also, he's like the melatonin of politicians.
You've been experimenting with melatonin.
I have been. I love melatonin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gives you vivid dreams.
Dreams of Vivek.
I'm going to get his skincare one way or another.
Well, I think we need to take our little musical break.
Sure thing.
So we can come back for our community question. You're listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. Stay tuned. We're coming back for callers in just a sec.
All the ducks are swimming in the water. All the ducks are swimming in the water. Fal-da-ral-da-ral-da, fal-da-ral-da-ral-da. All the ducks are swimming in the water. Fal-da-ral-da-ral-da, fal-da-ral-da-ral-da. All the ducks are swimming in the water. Fal-da-ral-da-ral-da, fal-da-ral-da-ral-da.
A little lemon jelly here on your KBO dial on The Gap. We are The Gap. I'm Tammy. With me is Althea.
Hey, we're back.
I love that duck song.
I was having a good time listening to it. Folks, this is the second half. Our community call-in segment, our question for you today. What is something that you thought would be a big deal, but it ended up not really mattering? This is what we're talking about today. Can you give an example?
Think large. Some of the examples we had. I'll do the one that I gave, which was Coney 2021.
No, 2012.
Oh, 2012.
This was a lot longer ago.
2012, Coney 2012. Mm-hmm. I thought that would be a bigger deal than it was. We have our own little Coneys. We have real Coneys that we have to deal with.
Sure.
Bermuda Triangle.
That's
true. It did.
As a child, I was like, got to be ready for that. And quicksand was the other one. When you're a kid, you're like, I need to know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And I need to be prepared. Some of it, you know, tying knots. You know, bug bites.
I was going to say, I thought mosquitoes would be like a huge problem growing up.
Yeah. Well, we are, knock on wood, not having mosquitoes that carry diseases here right now. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I really thought would be a big deal and like didn't come to be as much of an issue. And, you know, knock on wood that we're not sinking into quicksand as we speak. But if you would like to chat to us about this, 503-231-8187 is the number. You can also message us on Instagram at The Gap Radio. Or I got the website thing open, too. If you want to chat with us on the website, you can do that. Let us know what you think. What is something that you thought would be a big deal that ended up not really mattering?
I thought that I'd get chased by bees more than as an adult, like Winnie the Pooh style, you know? I just thought that like they'd just be swarms of bees here and there. Which, you know, whenever I do anything in nature, I always think of that. I always think there's something could swarm you.
Where is my bee escape route?
Or like a wildebeest, a wildebeest chase.
Yeah.
Like anything from Jumanji, I thought
Jumanji
would happen.
Yeah. That's my reason. Well, I mean, yeah. When you're a kid, you don't know anything, you know.
Or you know too much. Well,
or you know too much about things that really will not apply.
Like I thought pirates would be bigger for a little bit there. For a couple of years, pirates were a big deal.
That's true. Yeah. But yeah, regular like
shout out Tom Hanks.
You might come across a pirate with some regularity. Mm. That's not really the case. Bank robberies.
Mm.
You know? It's like, what do you
Heists.
Do? Yeah, what do I do in a hostage situation? I don't know. Sit tight. But they're going to tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
Which is to sit there and probably shut up, you know? But it was a bigger worry of mine. And that's not to say that it never matters.
Mm.
And, you know, hopefully I would be prepared in any kind of situation that might come up, but who's to say? If folks want to call and give us their thoughts, 503-231-8187. Were you preparing for something that ended up not really mattering?
What do you call the thing where they put it on your face when, like, in those detective movies where they try to make you go to sleep?
Oh, chloroform.
I've always thought that.
I read a lot of Nancy Drew.
Oh, there we go.
That girl is always getting chloroform. She's like, suddenly there was a rag across my mouth, and then I woke up in
like
a shed.
Yes.
It's like,
That's terrifying.
It is really terrifying. Like, I, you know, knock on wood, hope that never happens, but they like, do not, it's a real plot device. Sometimes with some of the Nancy Drews, you're like, I can tell that this was a little bit written by committee because we don't know how to get her from point A to point B. Mm. So, you know, chloroform or ether is like the way to do it.
Easy.
That's killing brains. She's like 16, you know? Poor thing.
It's feel a bad for time to do that.
But she was really, she's hardcore, you know? She's ready to fight. She's ready to run. She's going to chase the bad guy. I thought I'd be chasing more bad guys, to be honest. I read a lot of Nancy Drew.
Be some sort of car chase. Have you ever been in a car chase?
No.
Yeah, same. Not yet. I thought I'd be in one or two at this point.
I'm doing a lot of knocking on wood right here. Well, because here's the thing. It hasn't come up yet.
I haven't didn't see you knocking on wood when we mentioned the Bermuda Triangle or quicksand.
That I feel, well, you know what? You bring it up now. Let's knock on it a little bit more. I don't want that to happen.
Getting things like in your ears, I thought would be like a June bug in your ear or something.
Oh, yeah. Earwigs. Do you know about those?
No.
Oh. I won't burden you with it.
Is that an animal or is that
it's
an
a bug?
Act?
Oh. It's a bug, sort of.
Is it an earwig or does it wig your ear?
Does it go into your ear? I've never been able to get a clear answer on that, to be honest. I don't know if that's one of the things that like older kids tell you to freak you out. So things that you thought would be a big deal but ended up not really mattering. Let us know. 503-231-8187. You can message us on the website with the chat with us button, or you can message us on Instagram at The Gap Radio.
And we are talking about some of the stuff that we could, some of the things that you thought would be big deals but aren't.
Do you
want to
go?
Actually.
Yeah, we could do like a quick little overview of some of our free events if you want.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you want to talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, sure. So we have, for folks who don't know, we're trying to add a little segment in the show where we have just a list of things that are happening that are open to the public this weekend. And mind you, you can also call us in to answer a community question, 503-231-8187, as I read this out. Funk band Outer Orbit is going to be playing, oh, today, 6:30, at Unthink Park. We have the Super Mario Bros. Movie playing also at 7:30, and it is very much kids-friendly at Thompson Park. I can't remember what part of town that is. Another concert, kid-friendly concert happening tomorrow at 2 p.m. is the Kids Outdoor Festival, inaugural.
Kids outside.
Oh, sorry, did I say outdoors?
You
I'm just
outdoors.
Making this up. Wow. I just made that up. The Kids Outdoors.
Nope, outside. I'll say this when you say the next one. The Kids Outside Festival at George Park, Saturday at 2. It's the inaugural family-friendly hip-hop festival featuring youth performers.
They should have called it Kids Outdoors because they would have had two Z's at the end. Cars movie is playing at 7:30 on Saturday.
Can you tell that I filled out the sheets?
At Glenhaven Park. And, of course, the
Soul
to Soul Cultural Celebration, Alberta Park.
Saturday, 10 to 5.
10 to 5. That's hours.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
They got a lot going on.
Community
it's gonna be fun.
At the Rose City Golf Club, Sunday at 6. Also kids friendly. Mm. The Providence Stage Band at Laurelhurst, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. And the Celebrate Malala free event, Ray Gordon performs at 5 p.m.
at Clark Park. And that's Saturday from 11 to 7. Lots of, you know, free stuff to get going into. Most of it kid-friendly, too, if you're searching for the free things to
see,
be
we
doing
got a little taste
weekend.
A little taste of that morning rain, and look at us, just perking up and getting right back in
there.
Oh, my
gosh. I got woken up by the thunderstorm, but I loved it.
Was it very, very frightening?
I was like, I didn't even register what it was. I was like, thunder? Cool! I, like, wasn't mad about being woken up, you know? Like a half, you know what? You're like a half hour before your alarm goes, and then you're sometimes you're like,
oh man, I can't believe I missed. Oh, maybe that's why I kept waking up.
Maybe thunder, thunder, lightning,
very, very frightening.
Yeah, exactly.
503-231-8187 is the phone number.
Yes. You're also welcome to message us on Instagram. You can send us an email too. I didn't plug the email. thegapradio@gmail.com. If you're having trouble with our phone connection, which is again wires in an old studio, and you know there's gremlins. We always talk about this.
I've got to get Fulton County up in here, fix it up.
Mugshots of the culprits. Oh my god.
And folks,
faking a lie detector test.
Oh, definitely.
I really thought that would be something I would need to do at some point in my life.
Because you know, you take a thumbtack and you put it on your shoe, yeah. And then you step on it.
Yeah. Well, there's that whole episode of Psych where that happens. Do you know that he's when he fakes the lie detector test?
What's Psych?
The television show Psych?
I don't know what that is.
What? Oh my god, you would love it.
I don't know.
Weren't you watching Monk?
No, Castle. But only Nathan Fillion is from Firefly, so it's really... And he does a lot of homages to Firefly.
Yeah. Ah. So you're a real Nathan Fillion head.
I like when people remember where they come from, you know?
Yeah.
That's like Rudy Giuliani, you know?
No. No more with the feeling bad for Rudy Giuliani.
Did you see his picture?
Yeah.
That's on a well, man.
I know. He tried to overthrow the government. People don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Happy people don't. If he had friends, if he had some hobbies, if Ted Wheeler took him jogging with him, you'd have something to do.
He's not going to make it through a hike.
That's
in this up in the elevations. He's not going to be able to breathe.
When you're right, you're not wrong.
Thank you. It sounds like we got Joe on the line.
Yeah.
Hi. How you doing?
Not a relevant question right now.
All right. Talk to us.
You asked this question about something that you thought would happen but didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I was a youngster in the 70s, and I loved Jacques Cousteau's Under Sea World on television. Mm. I took it to heart, and I was involved in ecology and back to land in my mind. I was a youngster, and I really thought that it was going to revolutionize mankind, and people were going to stop doing monoculture and polluting the ocean and topsoil just free-flowing into the oceans and killing the oceans and blah, 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 blah. So it didn't happen. We did give it a go in the 60s, and there is some revival now with SAR, S, and this is acronym, Sustainable Agricultural Research Extension, with, you know, supported by the USDA. But for the most part, the news that I hear, which I don't listen to very often, tells us that we've got PFAS in our body and we have plastics, and that all the ice is melting on the earth, and we're going to have, you know, terrible consequences, and fossil fuels has taken over the earth and all the other, and I won't blame it just on white men, but patriarchy, in the sense that women also did not get respect from the 60s and 70s when we were trying to get our freedom and Planned Parenthood came around. And anyways, I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
I hear you on that. I still
do what I can, you know, and spread the good word, which is love, and has supporting each other and recognizing everybody for their individual worthiness. Mm-hmm. And that includes homeless people.
Individual worthiness. I like that. Tammy, you were going to say something?
I would say the hippies and the folks of the 60s and 70s that inspired a whole generation, and there's totally people now that are tapping into that, but they wouldn't have anything to tap into if there weren't folks like you.
Oh, I don't know. I disagree with you. I think everybody has an intrinsic ability to see truth and feel it deeply in their being and act accordingly. It doesn't have to be a historical perspective. It can just be who you are. People will do things. All of a sudden, they change and say, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore because it's harming somebody. Mm-hmm. Or the bees are going to go away and we're all going to die. Or whatever, you know. People get ideas and then they change.
Yeah.
But well, not soon enough, not quickly enough.
Yeah, we got to keep talking about the ideas.
Yeah, it's ideas to action that has been the problem. So.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Joe. We got to get to some other callers. You have a good rest of your day.
Sure, you too. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Camilla's on the line. Camilla, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
How you doing?
I have a personal view of this from the senior perspective. And my concern or how I relate to this issue that you've raised is love and marriage. I think that we really have very high expectations and hopes and wishes. And more often than not, we're frustrated and disappointed.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff.
And I can give two examples. One is when I had treatment for prostate cancer, I had radiation, and then I had hormone treatment. And going into the hormone treatment, I was very worried about the loss of my libido. And then when it happened, I said, wow, this is really a good thing. If I had known about this in the past, and I could have had a pill that turns it off and turn it on, I would have saved a lot of people a lot of grief. And, you know, since I had that treatment, I haven't had any sexual interest or activity, except in my dreams. And I think I'm better off for it. And the marriage part, I thought I found the love of my life maybe when I was in my 70s. And got very excited about that and very hopeful and was really feeling good that it finally, I can say that I'm truly in love. And then, of course, I found out that she was deceitful and that she left me in the end. And I was devastated, and I thought I was going to die.
Oh, Camilo.
I recovered.
Of course,
and
you're here.
And I learned that, that I can be happy without having a mate. And those are my two examples.
It's good perspective
of things
to
that
have.
You make a big case out of, and they don't turn out to be so great.
Interesting.
Doesn't have to mean everything.
Thank you so much for your perspective, Camilo. We always love hearing from you.
All right, bye-bye.
You take care. You know, that's true. It's, I mean, and I think to Camilla's case, there is now a lot, at least online, the whole discourse on child-free people, like couples and like just people that don't want to have kids and they call themselves child-free. And it's, kind of like not wanting all that. They're like, no, this is, we don't really want this. And and folks should be more honest about what that's like. But yeah, that's making me think Camilo always, I don't know, I got a soft spot for Camilo in my heart. I don't know what it is.
I do have a message that we got on Instagram. Things that you thought would be a big deal didn't end up being a big deal. Y2K.
I'm Y2K.
This is Y2K, baby, not a big deal.
Not. Thank you to all of the engineers out there.
Thank you to all the engineers
that go 00.
That did have them work on that. So it wasn't without effort, but, you know, great. So glad that that didn't happen. Brace yourself. Oh, yeah. And I mean, like the Mayan calendar that ended in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being at like softball practice. I was like, is it going to happen? I don't know. I still have to go to softball practice for some reason.
I'll never forget Y2K. It was so, yeah, my mom was all about it. Jennifer Lopez's Waiting for Tonight's was playing nonstop. And we really thought there would be like things coming crashing down. We have to go to the bunker.
Yeah, wow.
I'm glad I live on, like, yeah.
we are in a reality where that didn't happen.
We got a couple more moments to the show.
We got like 2 seconds. So I don't know. If you want to write in on the Instagram, on the email, on the website, you're more than welcome to. And you can also always contact us after the show.
For sure.
Thoughts. If you have ideas of things that you'd like for us to talk about, we're on Instagram at The Gap Radio. You can email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. All of our back episodes, if you've missed one or you want to know what we've been saying this whole time, kboo.fm/thegap. Okay, those are all my little plugs.
And we have, I guess we'll put all the open to the public events.
Oh, yeah, I can post that on our Insta story.
Is the Kickstand comedy happening today?
Kickstand comedy actually is tonight, yes.
Sweet.
So
is the car movies is on Saturday, though.
Yeah. We got to get you to this. I didn't know you were a big Cars head.
It just got me off. I was surprised. It took me off guard.
The Cars movie. No way.
It's
you're not going to believe what they do in this movie. They're cars that talk.
Yeah. Okay? You heard of Herbie?
You heard a Tow-Mater?
No.
That's one of the characters.
I don't know any of this.
this is just unrelated because we have like 2 seconds, but I went to the Soapbox Derby, and there was a car after one of the cars from Cars.
Oh, that's, I like that.
Shout out to the Soapbox Derbyers.
There's animals talking to you and taking you on journeys. That's another thing that I thought would happen more often than happened. And if my dog was to talk to me today, I'd sell her. I'd say, no.
No,
I can't have her.
No, you wouldn't. That's a lie.
I wouldn't, but
I'd
be scared.
That's a
damn lie. I'd give her to someone's getting her baptized, something.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea.
I'm Tammy.
We'll see you next time. Thank you to Sherry, our engineer.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye.
KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
On the next episode of Voices for the Animals, we'll look into the case of a goat, a girl, and the rise of more compassionate and humane alternatives to 4-H agricultural programs. We'll be speaking with Danielle Hanisch, Executive Director of LEAP, Leaders for Ethics, Animals, and the Planet. It's a program that offers students the farm animal care experience and opportunities of 4-H without the selling of those animals for slaughter, which can traumatize many kids.
These kids were, 15, 16 years old and just realizing, like someone flipped a switch that, oh my gosh, these animals are no different than my dogs and cats at home. They have feelings, they have personality. And now I'm knee deep in this program and I don't think that there's another option and I have to betray my friend who I have cared for.
We've got your goat on the next Voices for the Animals, airing Friday, August 25th at 10 a.m. right here on 90.7